Well, if you haven't been here, good morning. Y'all ready to worship? Got some business taken care of. You ready to worship now? Everybody, on three, take a deep breath. Are you ready? Because it's mainly for me. Just help me. You ready? One, two, three. Okay, here we go. Let's invite the Holy Spirit. Father, you are good. You are faithful. You are our Father. You're our Savior. You're a Prince of Peace, the Alpha, the Omega. There's nothing that escapes your eye. Would you send your Holy Spirit into this place? Stir our hearts. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll rise, if you're able, as we worship, welcome to our live stream worshipers as well.
Good morning. Let's stand and worship together. Will bow now. battle cry, like a cry of war, for the sake of, it doesn't matter what we're doing, whether we're sitting in here together, where we're all doing our own business with our own jobs and our own families and our own everything, it doesn't matter, because we can all rest and centralize on the fact that our God is the Lion of Judah, and there is nothing that can overpower him. And so with that, I told, I was like, you know, that's something that I think you come to know and come to appreciate the older you get. I think it's something that you genuinely begin to just start to remind yourself constantly over and over. And I think the older that I've gotten and the more time that I've spent on that, it's not only is God our Savior, not only is God our Lord, our protector, but he's also our friend. And so with that, let's sing about it. You can remain seated for a second, and everybody else can remain seated. We have a something else going on.
Carlin family, I'm looking. Come on up. Yeah, there we go. Fred, Jax, and Carly. Y'all belong to to Janice Carlin, right?
Yes,
do y'all know her?
Banana.
So glad that you guys come this morning to join our church. We're excited about that. You were more or less kind of sort of raised in the church too, aren't you? Yeah. So I ask you, is Jesus still your Lord and your Savior? And we receive that. And will you be loyal to the church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness?
Yes.
Amen. Shake the hand, buddy. All right.
All right.
Welcome. You guys be seated. Make sure Fred and kids get greeted before they leave today. Children, come forward and meet Miss Teresa this morning.
You're here this morning. That's it. All right. Well, while I was getting ready for today, I got to thinking, there's a holiday this month. What holiday is coming?
Christmas.
That's true, but there's one before that one.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is about a little bit more than a week away. All right, so anyways, I thought today that I would share with you what I'm most thankful for. But I don't want to just tell you. I want to use this piece of paper and work my way up to it. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take this corner, and I am going to bring it down to the bottom. I want to make sure I have a nice point at the top and bring it down. Kind of. I think you're right. So I'm starting with this point, and then I'm going to take this point, and I'm going to bring this one down. Well, you got to wait to the end, okay? Even if you've seen it before. Now here, I have what looks like a house. Now, I am thankful for my house. Are you thankful for your house?
Yes.
But it's not my most favorite thing that I'm thankful for. There's more. No, I'm going to just keep going. You got to let me get there. Okay, I'm going to fold it again. I'm going to fold it again that way. And then I'm going to do one more fold, kind of like someone had already mentioned. And it's going to come out, and it's going to look like a paper airplane. Right. Yeah, it looks like an airplane. And I must admit, I like airplanes. I am thankful that we have airplanes because my family is from New York State, so I get in an airplane to fly to visit them. And I'm so thankful because it would take a lot longer if I had to walk to go visit them. So I am very thankful for airplanes. Okay, I also think how airplanes go up high. They go high. Do they get into the clouds?
Yeah.
They do get into the clouds. Can an airplane get me and take me to heaven?
No.
No, it can't take me to heaven?
Because heaven's not possible.
Well, give me a moment because I think I know something that goes higher than an airplane. And so I need to, in a minute, I need to take the wings off from my airplane. There at the bottom, I kind of need to flare it out a bit. And you're right. What do I have?
A rocket ship.
I do have a rocket ship. And I'm thankful. I think rockets are cool. And I'm thankful we have rockets. But I'm thinking how they go up and they go higher than the clouds. They go into space. Can a rocket get us to heaven?
No.
No. The truth is, there is nothing we can make, not even the smartest person in the world, nothing can be made that gets us to heaven. Nothing. And the truth is that we can't even be good enough to get ourselves to heaven because we have all made mistakes. We have broken God's laws, all of us. We have all sinned. We sure have. So there's one way. There is one way to get us to heaven. And if I open this up,
cross.
There's my cross. That's right. The cross. It's by the cross and by Jesus that we get to heaven, right? And it's the only way, right? We are thankful that Jesus came to earth, that he then died on the cross and rose again, and it's through him that our sins can be forgiven and we're washed clean And then one day we will all be able to get to heaven through Jesus and see God. That is what I'm thankful for this year and every year. This is what I am most thankful for. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. And Jesus, thank you for coming down to earth and dying on a cross and rising again so that we may one day go to heaven and be with God. This I pray in your most holy name. Amen.
Aren't you grateful for the cross of Christ? Amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everyone. Once again, welcome to you who are worshiping with us online. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into this service. Our Wiley Methodist cookbooks are available after the service in the foyer. Someone will be there to help assist with those. Our Operation Christmas Child Collection Week, our Shoebox Collection Week, is this week. It starts tomorrow and runs through next Monday. And the times are posted, I know they're on the app, maybe on the website as well, but if you'll try to avoid maybe the late afternoon or the noon hour, usually somebody will be here to collect those boxes, help assist with those. Also, the 26th, Tuesday the 26th, is Turkey Tuesday. That's where we distribute a couple hundred turkeys in the Carver neighborhood. It's always a great opportunity to reach out to those in need. Also, there's 100 turkeys earmarked for the Methodist Food Pantry. So if you'd like to help distribute those, you can meet us in the Carver neighborhood around 3:30, 3:45. Also, if you want to donate to this effort, turkeys are $20 each, and you can go ahead and give those electronically or through the offering boxes at the doors. Let's stand, if you're able, and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I want to ask you a question. Has anybody spent too much time in prayer this last week? Anybody? Me either. We never can pray too much. I was in Ephesians chapter 6 in my daily Bible reading this week, and I was reminded by Paul that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, the powers, the forces of darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. I was also reminded that I need to put on the full armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, put our gospel shoes on to where we spread peace through the gospel everywhere we go. I was reminded to take up the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and to brandish the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. And then right after that, something I think a lot of us may not focus on, part of this effort, part of this warfare is to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kind of prayers and requests. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. You know, we have lots of needs in this fellowship, lots of opportunities to pray, lots of things to pray for. Our pastor is going to give us maybe some tools we can focus on when it comes to spending that kind of time in prayer during his sermon. And so this morning, I want to pray through the request in the bulletin. Those on the, this is the back side of your bulletin, those on the ongoing side, we leave those on there for a season. The prayer request side, Typically, those change from week to week. We have a prayer wall on our app that has, I do the best to keep the prayer list current, so you can always go to the app, to the prayer wall, and pray through those needs. Just a lot of things we can be interceding for. And so let's go to the Lord and encourage you to pray with me. Father, I thank you for opportunities to pray, and what an incredible privilege it is for us to dialogue with you. And Father, I probably talk too much when I get in your presence, and Lord, I need to be a better listener. So thank you for speaking to us during seasons of prayer. Father, I lift up Austin Tice to you. Father, I pray that you bring that boy home in Jesus' name. I lift up Lou Ann Barrow for healing for her and for Laura Reinbold. God, would you strengthen her body? I thank you for Jim, who's been such a faithful caregiver. Lord, would you bless him as well, strengthen him. Lift up Evelyn Mitchell. Father, strength for her body. I pray for Linda Stanfield. Thank you, Father, that she was here this morning. God, I just pray that, God, would you just give her steadiness as she gets up and walks around. Pray for continued healing for Mike Wilkins' heart. Lift up Jim McDonald to you, Father. Would you heal his eyes? Father, would you touch his eyesight? Pray for Dawn Patton, Lord, that, God, she can experience the peace and comfort that only you can bring. And Lord, I lift up Mike Trantham to you. Father, just been struggling for 2 or 3 weeks with an unknown infection in his body. Father, I just pray for supernatural wisdom for the medical community as they deal with that. And Lord, we ask at the same time, maybe you just touch him supernaturally and free him up from that infection. Pray for Daniel Bland as he recovers from neck surgery, for Marv Gregory as he's dealing with a possible health issue. We lift up Zara Navarro, Lord, for power and protection as she does ministry in Japan. Pray for Mike and Edda's son, Stephen, as he deals with life issues. Pray for healing and comfort for him. Pray for Vicki Camp, Lord, facing an upcoming surgery, a critical surgery. Father, would you just bless that situation. Lift up the family of Rafe Jones as they grieve and process the passing of Rafe. And we thank you for little Ruben Garza, who had surgery this past week to deal with sinus issues. Thank you for a good surgery there. And Lord, there's so many things we could just cry out to you about. And Father, again, would you help us in this area? Would you help me in this area to understand what it means to pray without ceasing? Father, again, it's not really a directive like do this or else. It's an invitation for us to be in fellowship with you. And so, Lord, help us in that area through the power of the Holy Spirit. And thank you for opportunities to pray. And we pray the prayer that Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you again, church, for your financial faithfulness. Giving options are on the screen, offering boxes by the doors. There will be several people available for prayer after the service if you need prayer. Let's continue to worship the Lord. Thank you.
Did you know that there's something about that name, Jesus? I said in the early service, that name, it's not just a normal name. It is a name that is above every name, and it's we can use that name as spiritual warfare. So, on three, say the name with me, will you? One, two, three. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. I want you to just know when you're struggling, when you're sad, when you're whatever, feeling attacked, any way, anything at all, use that name. There is power in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. If you are a guest this morning, we pray that you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. Pray that you feel the love of God's people in this place. We're glad that you're here. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you that has a blue stripe and it says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you at the end of the service. I'll be down at this end of the foyer with a free gift for our guests. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, I want to kind of set the stage here a little bit. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote this letter to this church in Thessalonica that he had started, and many times some of Paul's letters to churches, they weren't doing so well, and he might have been scolding or giving them instruction that to get back on track. But the church in Thessalonica was doing really well. And if you go back and you begin to read the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, you see that Paul was giving thanks for the people of the church in Thessalonica. And so this is part of his encouragement, part of his instructions to them as they continue to walk out their faith. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 16. God would say to us, be joyful most of the time. Oh, is that not what it said? Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, you are so good to us. We pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit. We've invited you. Would you come and would you speak power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I recognize not everyone had the blessing of having a good mom and dad that did good things for you. I understand that, but many of us did, including myself. My mom is ornery, but other than that, it was a pretty good upbringing. But I was born in Winters, Texas. Any blizzards in the house? Yes. I know we've got some Winters blizzards. I was born in Winters, 40 miles south of here, and we lived there. When I was going into second grade, we moved to Abilene. It was just my brother and I, and my brother was 3 years older than me, so he was 3 years ahead of everything that I got to do. Any little brothers or little young, any young ones in the house that can relate. And so my dad and my brother and I were out playing catch one time. I was probably 4 or 5, which means my brother was probably 7 or 8. And we're playing catch with the baseball. I remember this very vividly in our house in Winters. Dad's throwing us the ball, and we're playing, and he begins to throw Jay pop flies. And Jay, being 3 years older or so than me, Dad, throw me a pop fly. Son, you're not ready for a pop fly. And I just kept bugging him, and he, Jeff, you're not. How come Jay gets everything? Anybody ever do it? Jay gets everything he wants. How come I can't have a pop fly? So Dad finally says, okay, I'll give you a pop fly. So he throws this little pop fly to me. Did not turn out well. Hit me in the eye. I literally kept my eye on the ball. And what all 4 or 5 year olds that have been hitting the eye with a baseball do, I ran to screaming to mama. Dad knew best. He wanted good things for me. He knew that I wasn't ready for a pop fly, but I insisted on a pop fly. We can trust those that love us that they want good things for us. Guess what? God loves us, and He wants good things for us. Today's message, God's will for you. He has a will for you, and He's lined it out here in these three short little verses. He's lined out what that is, and we're going to kind of digest this a little bit closer to see what He's trying. It seems challenging when we just read the verses, but He's telling us three different things. This is God's will for you, He says. All right, first of all, God's will for you, church, is to let your life exude joy. I've been the pastor here 22 years. I've been waiting 22 years to get to slip in the word exude. I've been waiting for that moment. And it's here. If you look up the dictionary for the word exude, guess what it says? To ooze out. That's nasty, isn't it? To ooze out. But when you think of it, that we want our joy to ooze out in our life. People, I say this all the time, but people are not attracted to freeze-dried Christians. Did you know that? If we're grumpy Christians, nobody's going to go, hot dog, I want to follow whatever that guy's following. It's not going to happen. Our life, to follow God's will, let our life exude joy. Be joyful always, not sometimes, not most of the time, but be joyful always. Well, that can seem rather challenging because life is not always puppies and snowflakes, is it? Jesus said sometimes in this life we'll have trouble, but this yet God's word is saying you want to follow God's will in Christ Jesus, be joyful always. What does that mean? So first of all, I want us to recognize that joy, laughter, is powerful. Many of y'all think that I'm a goober, and that's okay. That's a spiritual gift. It's in there. I like being a goober because I want I told Cheryl, I don't know if she'll do it, but I'll go before her, and I want people to wear goofy hats at my funeral. They're all going, what's the comedian I'm trying to think of? Tim Hawkins says, I'm going to put the fun back in funeral. And that's me, man. Because we should, man, if anybody should be joyful in this world, it should be those in Christ. And God's word is saying, be joyful. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In fact, there's medical research that laughter is powerful, and it even physically gives us benefits, short-term benefits. This is from the Mayo Clinic. I did a little research on this. The Mayo Clinic, short-term benefits of laughter and joy in our lives. It stimulates our many organs. It enhances the intake of oxygen-rich air, stimulates our hearts, lungs, muscles, increases endorphins. That's another word I've been wanting to preach on, endorphins, that are released by your brain, decreases our heart rate and our blood pressure, soothes tension, it stimulates circulation and aids muscle relaxation. Those are short-term benefits. Long-term medical benefits, it improves our immune system, I'm getting into a lot of really cool words today, releases neuropeptides. Cheryl, you like that one? Neuropeptides that help fight stress and potentially other more serious illnesses. It relieves pain because laughter can ease pain because it can produce our own natural natural painkillers in our body. It increases personal satisfaction. Laughter can make it easier to cope with difficult situations, improves our mood, it lessens our stress, depression, anxiety, and we just generally feel happier when we laugh, when we have joy in our lives. Now, so, you know, if we go to the doctor and the doctor gives us a diagnosis, it's a tough diagnosis to hear, and something that we're realizing we're getting ready to face a real trial in our lives. You don't run out of the doctor's office going, that's not what this is talking about. It's saying even in the midst of all circumstances, be joyful. There should be this underlying permanent condition of joy that just oozes out. It exudes from our life. That's God's will for us, church. This is going back a few years, but a few years ago there was a Lake Stanford flooded. I mean, like major bad flooded. And many that were in the church at that time, we went to Lake Stanford. There was a home there. There was a couple that he had cancer. He had just had cancer surgery, and they had just bought this home on the lake and were fixing it up. And literally the water, like this was their ceiling in their house. The water line was right there, like 4 inches below their ceiling. And it just toasted the house, you know. And we got word that there were many homes in those kind of conditions. We adopted that home, and we swarmed that home. We had it with them, arranged with them that we were coming. And we just swarmed that home. I don't remember how many were there, probably 30 people or so. Just we were ripping out sheetrock and putting new sheetrock in, new insulation, just doing all sorts of things. There were so many of us working on the house that they told us, well, you've got so many here, there's another house that could use some help. There was a mobile home that the floor had been, it was rotted out. The water had just depleted the floor. And Billy and I went over to work on this house. And when we got there, this lady, I'm just telling you, this lady, she was not a happy lady. I mean, her circumstances were very much overwhelming her. And she didn't, even though we were there to help, she didn't like us. She didn't like God. She didn't like nothing. She was an angry lady. And so we told her, hey, we would like to replace your floorboards and give you they couldn't even walk in the house because it was all mushy. And we'd like to fix your floor. And so she allowed us to do that. And again, she was not happy. So Billy, I don't know if y'all have noticed this about Billy, but he's constantly harassing me and teasing me. I can't do anything. He's just always on my case and stuff. And so we're working together, and we're just having fun. We're just having fun helping this lady. And, you know, you had to piece these pieces of plywood. We were having to cut them to a certain size and get them to fit and all. And sometimes we'd have one that wouldn't quite fit, and we'd have to recut it. And Billy, you know, the way he is, he was like, Jeff, why didn't you cut? I thought you measured that. Okay, maybe I did some of that too, but I'm not sure. But we were harassing each other as we worked on this lady's house and just having fun doing it. And I'm telling you, you could literally almost see the transformation happening in this lady. Before we were there a few hours, I don't know, doing that. And when we left, this lady was laughing, and there was joy in the home, and she was laughing. I'm not sure she was laughing with us. I think it was at us, but, you know, because we weren't the greatest carpenters in the world, but we were trying. But, man, just joy and laughter is powerful, church. When we exude that out of our lives, Paul tells us in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Now this is a man who'd been thrown in prison and whipped and beaten and shipwrecked and people falsely accusing him and all kinds of things. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And here's the payoff, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, and I would add circumstances, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, man, rejoice. Let your life be this joyful demonstration of the goodness of God. As I said, anyone that is going to be should be joyful, it should be us in Christ. even in difficult situations. And I'm telling you, that is a challenge, certainly for me. I don't know if it is for you. But the challenge to us to fulfill God's will in us is to let our life exude joy. Secondly, the scripture is telling us God's will for you is to remain in an attitude of prayer 24/7. An attitude of prayer 24/7. Pray continually. Another translation says without ceasing, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So here's the problem. This may sound like too big of a task for us to be able to do that. It's not saying, oh, you know what? You're at work and you're needing to accomplish your duty. No, you need to be praying right now. You don't need to be doing what you're being paid to do. You need to be praying. Or well, I've got to fix some lunch. No. You don't have time. You need to be praying without ceasing. That's not what it's saying. That's not the challenge before us. It is an attitude, a spiritual attitude. The problem is not that what we're being asked to do is too big for us. The problem is that we don't completely understand prayer. We think prayer is when we get on our knees and we pray. We're talking to God. But that's a good thing as well, but that's not the full essence of prayer. Prayer is a spiritual attitude. Living and understanding, living and feeling, understanding that we are always in the presence of God, having a constant sense of His presence, trusting Him, knowing He loves us, following Him, serving Him. If we understand that we are, even our very next breath is dependent upon God, it's much easier for us to be in a constant spirit of prayer. You know, Jesus said it this way. He said, remain, which is another translation says abide. Remain or abide in me, Jesus said, and I will remain or abide in you. So there's this relationship that we think prayer is just when, I know this sounds kind of harsh, but sometimes I think in our mind, we think prayer is God is Santa Claus and we crawl up in His lap and we give Him our Christmas list. That's not the full essence of prayer. Prayer is abiding in Him, to be in constant relationship with Him. Cheryl and I, we've been married 44 years, right? I did good, 44 and a half years. And we were really, 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 really young when we got married. I just want to point that out. And so I try to block off a day a week. It doesn't always happen, but I try to block off a day a week where Cheryl and I just can hang out. And it you know that you're getting old when you're spending some time with your spouse and you find yourself walking around Walmart. I mean, it's like, or I was telling the early service, or even more for us, TJ Maxx. Any of you ladies like TJ? And so our experience at TJ Maxx is we go in and we separate for a few minutes, and I go look at the guy stuff and the electronics, and then one of the chairs that they're selling, I find one of those to sit in, and I wait for Cheryl to peruse the store. But we're just, and then we go have lunch, and we're just hanging out. We don't have anything to do. We don't have anywhere really to be or go. We're just hanging out. Don't you think God would like that with us? Just being together, just hanging out together, just being in relationship with one another. God's will is for us to pray continually, but again, we misidentify, we misdefine prayer. We don't really understand. Just to be, prayer is communication, to be in relationship with Him. Where you're telling Him what's on your heart, He's telling you what's on His heart. Did you know most of us have one of these goofy things these days? There's a way to talk on here. Did you know that? All you young people that text all the time, did you know that you can talk on these too? But you can also listen. It's really, maybe I just have a really cool one that you can talk and listen on mine. But prayer is a spiritual attitude, just hanging out in the presence of God, and that we can do without ceasing. Did you know that? Amen. All right, third thing, God's will for you is to realize that God's ways are always best. I would add that God's ways are always best, but they're not always the easiest. Give thanks in all circumstances. And as I used the example earlier, it's not like you get bad news and we run around the house screaming, "Ah, hallelujah, you know, I got some bad news here." But what is he really meaning? That even when this world is difficult, even when things don't work out the way we would like for them to, we understand that we have a God who loves us. We have a God who he's always motivated by love. Now, some of the situations that we face don't feel like that. I'm just telling you, we can't trust our feelings. Feelings do this. But God is the solid rock that we stand on. He always wants the best for us. And his ways are always best. Even when we don't understand, even when they're difficult. Romans 8, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Though that's a hard passage to hear when you're going through serious, difficult trials in this life. But doesn't mean it's not true. It's just hard to receive that. It's hard to accept that. And unless we understand that God loves us. Jesus said it very clearly. You know what? This life is tough. And you're going to have problems in it. But I've overcome the world. In all things, God works for the good. Romans 12, 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to this. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Well, what is God's will? His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Even when we have trouble receiving it, even when we have trouble understanding it, his ways are always best, and they're always motivated by love. Reflecting back on my playing catch with my dad and my brother, you know, my dad knew you're not ready for a pop fly. It could turn out bad, Jeff. And yet, man, I didn't understand that. I was jealous because Big Brother was getting pop flies. So I got a pop fly. We may not understand what God's will is, but we can be assured that he loves us and he knows best. Scripture, John, probably the most well-known scripture in all of Scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved us that he gave Jesus so that we'd have eternal life. Church, if we want to be in God's will, in that sweet spot of God's will, we need our life to exude joy. We need to remain in relationship, this attitude of prayer 24/7, always recognizing that God is with us, and we need to trust him. We need to trust him. If you'll bow your heads with me. Father, maybe I'm the only one, but I confess to you that I don't always understand. But I'm also reminded that your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. I'm reminded that now we see as though in a mirror, but someday we will see face to face. We will be face to face with you, and you'll understand difficult things in our life. In the meantime, God, we trust you. We give thanks to you always. We help us to be a joyful people always, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances. Teach us how, Lord. penetrate our hearts with the truth of your great love for us. We pray it in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. You'll rise if you're able as we close. The altar rail is open. If you don't know that Jesus that loves you, he knows you. Don't leave this place today without talking to me about that.
I was telling the early service after Jeff's message, I said his message about God wanting to be with us made me think of a story that Eli told me one time, my oldest. And we live like 5 or 6 blocks away from his school, so a couple days a week I try to walk with him to school. I said walk him in the first service, and he's old enough to walk, but I walk with him to school, and one of the things that happened, he was like, you know, Dad, like, people keep asking me if I'm scared, and I'm like, why? He goes, well, I think they were like, well, it's because your dad walks you to school. Are you scared? And he's like, no, my dad doesn't walk me to school because I'm scared. My dad walks me to school because he wants to. God doesn't walk with us because we're scared, even though we might be. God walks with us because he wants to be with us. He wants that relationship. So as that is a reminder, this is a new song, but it's a song that you should know the words to, hopefully. So sing along with us, and let's close in worship.
Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, forgive us.
Just a reminder, I'll be out. We'd love to greet our guests. Also, there will be people to pray for you down front if you have some prayer needs this morning. The Lord would tell us to be in His will. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Church, that's good news. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.